Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Don't tell anybody you like shalom, shalom, and just sit down. Shalom, 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 and sit down. In Luke chapter 1, I borrowed a statement from Luke. Dr. Luke, a statement he made. Where he said in verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent bride assembly, to speak to you in order, most excellent bride of Christ worldwide, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed." And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we'll continue with the exhortation entitled "Understanding the End Time Message." And I know some 2-3 years back, I've tried to go along those lines, but we'll keep repeating some of these things for those who may be joining us new in this great revival that is taking place, and for those also who are forgetful hearers, so that you can also be reminded, so that you will see the necessity to take heed to what Apostle Peter have said, that you should give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Your calling and election, ensure it. And you will also, like Apostle Paul admonished, to examine yourself if you be in the faith. Examine yourself if you be in the faith. And from my own understanding of what the message is, and by God's grace, I believe that God has also given me what I call a perfect understanding of what the end time message is. And if God gives me the opportunity, therefore, to have a platform like this to preach, then I should use it effectively. And that's exactly what I try to do. After I observe that not too many so-called followers of the end time message actually understand what this end time message is. Even including some who even started this church before me. Even those who claim that they are custodians of this end time message in Nigeria. So many of them, when I measure them by the standard of the scriptures, I see many of them miss the mark and miss the purpose of the end time message. And I feel with this opportunity and privilege that God has given us to have a worldwide reach, we should use this opportunity and let the whole world know what the end time message is and what it is not. We will look at it from 7 questions. We looked at it from 7 questions. Number 1, are we at the end time? Number 2, is there a need for a message? Number 3, is there a promise of the message at this end time? Is there any promise like that scripturally? Number 4, how do we identify the messenger? How do we identify the messenger? Because there cannot be a message without a messenger. Number 5, what is the message? Number six is the message received. Is the message received? And finally, is the message understood by those who received it? And so let's try to look at, answer them, and it will give us a complete picture. The last time we took the first three, number one, number two, number three, we established, number one, that we are at the end time, and we gave the scriptures that prove we are in the end time. Number two, is there a need for the message? We saw, yes, there is a need for the message, because there is a departure from the apostolic faith. And we proved it by the scriptures. And number three, is there a promise of a message? For nothing takes God by surprise. He knew it will happen, so he prepared for that message. And it is there, the promise is there in the scriptures. Today, we'll be looking at the fourth one. How do we identify the messenger? How do we identify the messenger? Praise the Lord. And always remember that, let's read a few scriptures. Let's try and read a few scriptures. Because it's a principle of God. In John chapter 6, verse 28, 29, and verse 30. John chapter 6. Then said they unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ now, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? This is the answer. Every one of us, listen. You want to do the work of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Underline it in your Bible. If you have not yet, underline it in your Bible. Because my own is underlined. Long, long, long time ago. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on him whom he has sent. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, listen now. What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So it means, they believe that if God has sent you, there should be a sign. That is what they believe. The Jews believe. If God has sent you, there must be a sign. That is who they are. And that is why Moses, when God was sending Moses, please listen to me very well. When God was sending Moses to go and bring out his people from Egypt, he knew that they will ask him, what is the sign you have? How will they know you have sent me? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 38. Then certain of the Pharisees and of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. That is, we want to see a sign from you. We want a sign from you. You are claiming to be anything. Let's see the sign. You know why I'm emphasizing this sign? You will know why I'm emphasizing. Let's go on. But he answered and said unto them, listen carefully. What did he say? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. When I read this, amen, what came to my mind is that the children of God do not follow signs and wonders. It is carnal people. And that is the reason why the devil has hijacked that and is using science and magic and is attracting crowd. Crowd. All the churches that you see, big churches today, what is attracting people to Ikotu? What is attracting people to worry? Amen. Children of God, listen. This statement confirmed. Jesus was rebuking them. Because it's only carnal people that must see a sign before they believe. There is a reason I'm emphasizing this sign. Because people have used the signs that followed the ministry of William Branham, and you can trust what the devil will do with that type of thing. And that is what has messed up the entire message till today. And that is why I am saying here, amen, I have long caught that revelation, and I have decided not to be measuring and giving testimony of the signs that follow William Branham. A sign does not point people to itself. A sign is pointing somewhere, isn't it? Signboard. When you were coming here, you saw signboard. What was the signboard showing? Showing you direction to Brother Assembly Church. When you see the sign finish, you go to worship for signboard, Abby. You go stay for signboard, Abby. What is the evidence that you have seen the sign? You will follow the direction the sign is pointing you to. I will come to that. But he answered and said unto them, an evil, verse 39, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to you, to thee, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. What is the sign? For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Then he added, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Praise the Lord. Jonas was sent to Nineveh. Amen. There was a sign. The sign was to the city of Nineveh. When he got there, did he enter there with the fish? Anytime you want to confirm that I am from God, then he will enter inside fish. He spoke something. A sign doesn't preach. The sign did not deliver the message. The people did not repent because of the sign. It is because of what Jonah said. Oh, praise God. It is because of what Jonah preached. That is why I repeat. None of these anointed men of God. Watch them very well. While people are rushing to these churches for the miracle signs and wonders taking place there to go and watch like cinema, I and many of you here, we are waiting to hear the sermon. Oh, glory be to God. That is why you see the difference between the chicken and the eagle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, 23, 24. He said, for the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Do you understand what that place is saying? There are two groups of people. Eh? The Jews and the Greek. The Jews, they will require a sign. The Greek is wisdom. Are these not the two groups of people dominating the pulpits today? Those motivational speakers. Eh? Because there is a group of people that is what they are looking for. Wisdom, wisdom. Don't touch holiness. Don't touch. In those places, I know of a very big Pentecostal church that if you fall under anointing, your neighbor will say, excuse me, please respect yourself. The crowd, thousands, big auditorium. Crowd are following. And their general overseer, come and see eloquence. Come and see how they speak poetically, with rhymes, with, they know how to lay the sentences. When he's beginning to speak, you see them writing the words of wisdom. See them writing. Because, and truly speaking, sometimes I look at this man talking and say, Kai, this man, he get brain. I give it to him. Oh, I give it to him. The guy has brain. And there are people that are looking for that type of wisdom. Then, the second group are those that seek for sign. And they are the two crowd-pulling churches today. Let's read on. Let's continue where we are reading. Let's start again from verse 22. It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ, what? Crucified. Hallelujah. When those people who are only looking for signs and wonders unto the Jews, who is he? A stumbling block. They cannot understand. And unto the Greeks that are looking for wisdom, 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 wisdom. What are they? What is the, when you talk about holiness, everything, don't do this, don't, they look at you, they are talking foolishness. They are talking foolishness. But what shall we do to do the works of God? What did he say? Believe him whom he has sent. What does verse 24, where we read now, what does it say? It says, but unto them, we now. You see the three groups now, which are called, both Jews and Greeks, because he has his own there. Hallelujah. What do we preach? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. So how do we identify the messenger? You can now see, even if I don't go further on this point, you can see why the messenger will be difficult to be identified. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, 9, and particularly verse 10. Daniel chapter 12. After he told him about the things that will happen at the end, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, the angel that was speaking to him, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end, and we are now at the end time. And listen to what he said. At this end time, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, But, everybody, shall we go? But the wise shall understand. That's where you see the wise virgins. But the wise shall understand. He said the wicked shall do wickedly. And this wicked, listen very well, is not talking about ritual killers, armed robbers, terrorists. He's talking about those who claim they are born again, who want to serve God and live the type of life they are living now. And it is increasing. Only the wise shall understand. And because only the wise shall understand, amen. He said, he sealed the understanding. He closed the understanding. He encoded the understanding. But at the end, he will decode it. Hallelujah. And that is why, so that the wicked will not understand, continue in their wickedness, he decided to speak in parables when he came, the Lord Jesus Christ. And left the people in confusion. Anytime I think about this process of God choosing his own, I get so afraid of God, so afraid of God. Begin to say, this God, you should be very, very careful with him. No wonder Apostle Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You should be so afraid. And if you ever see yourself as being saved, the privilege is too much for you to toy with it. It keeps you truly humble if you catch this revelation of what he means by election. That he will choose you from among your family, from among your town, your tribe, your village, your age mates. Choose you to expose this secret to you. And he by himself, he blinding others. Is God wicked? He's not wicked, though. To start with, you don't even need explanation. He made all things for his pleasure. He is the potter, we are the clay. There are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor in a great house. All brought in by the master of that great house. This revelation keeps a truly revelated person humble. Concerning salvation, you will not boast in anything. That's why that songwriter calls it amazing grace. It's so amazing because you know you don't deserve it. You didn't work for it. I mean, Apostle Paul said, while we are yet sinners. So you didn't pay for it. You didn't struggle for it. You were not looking for him. He was the one looking for you. That's why the songwriter said, he loves me. I cannot tell why. You can't explain why he loves me. Amen. So where is pride? Where is pride? Then he call you and make a minister and give you one anointing to use it to work for him. Then you assume pride will come upon you and then you are something because of what he gave you. Paul was the one that called that revelation. There is nothing you have that you did not receive. No human being came to earth with anything. Even if you were born into a wealthy family, you were born there, you didn't know that you were coming to that family when you were born. And it was already prepared for you before you came, so you didn't work hard to receive it, you inherited it. So what is it that will make you proud? Can't you see why a Christian, true Christian, one first identification of true conversion is humility? It's humility. Praise the Lord. Only the wise shall understand. So that you'll understand why in Matthew chapter 2 he chose the wise to reveal the star of Jesus. From verse 1, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, let's read that account. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came, who are those that came to him? Wise men from the east. Praise the Lord. They sweet them anytime I read this scripture. Wise men. Wise men. From where? From the east. Hallelujah. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When he said we saw his star in the east, does not mean that the star was in the east. They were in the east. From the east, they saw the northern star. Praise the Lord. You are laughing. Do you know that they reached Kadesh Barnea? And they remained there, they could not move again. Eh? At Kadesh Barnea, I think that's Deuteronomy chapter 2 or so. Eh? Deuteronomy chapter 2. All these Easterners. From verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you where? Hallelujah. This entire message, people have stood too long, bra bra, and say, bra bra, and say, bra bra, and say, bra bra, and say. Then God raised up another star. And wise men from the east saw it. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Take note now, verse 10 and verse 11. When they saw the star, the wise men, this is my emphasis. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, listen, two things here, that verse 10, verse 11. Listen. First and foremost, it is wise men. I'm linking it to Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, where he says, concerning the folding up of these end time events, only the wise shall understand. And the key we have is a group of wise people concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not reveal the birth to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the scribes. to the religious leaders of Israel. It was to a group of astrologers. Why? They were in the business of studying the stars, the constellation, heavenly constellations. Why? Because they know that the movement of those heavenly bodies have something, has an effect on activities in the earth here. That is what makes them wise. Therefore, nothing on earth takes them by surprise. Because they already know when something is about, something monumental is about to happen on earth. Because the sign is always there through those heavenly constellations. And they were busy studying that star. You see? So that they will know. That is something about the wise. You know that among the wise men in Babylon, Daniel was among, correct? Daniel was among. Hallelujah. Daniel was also among the wise. And Daniel, true to who he is, the wise man that he is, he quickly knew that they were not supposed to stay forever in bondage. There is a program. The Bible says Daniel understood by books. He was studying. Only the wise study. And they are learned. Because lawyers study so widely, they call themselves learned men. They are learned. They call themselves learned colleagues. Because they study wide, wide, wide. They have knowledge of how to live on earth here, free of oppression. Lawyers. Therefore, they are wise. Daniel is a type of the wise bride that knows that this Gentile period is not forever. Christ is coming soon to end these activities. This program. And if you know that he will come, it is only normal that you begin to study to know when he will come and how he will come. While the foolish ones are busy pursuing miracles, signs and wonders and pursuing wealth, everything else, but the knowledge of the coming of the Lord. So it's not enough that you are even going to an intermediate church like this. It may just be religion. But people who come, because Matthew 25 speaks about the wise trimming their lamps. With this emphasis of the wise, there is something unique about them. There's something unique about them. Praise the Lord. That is what makes them wise. And I'm saying this because today we're trying to look at how to identify the messenger. And remember that the messenger, Christ gave us a key to it in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's read it for the purpose of Bible study. Verse 16, Revelation chapter 1, a description of what John saw. And who you see here in that description is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came to verse 16, and he, that is Christ himself, had in his right hand, how many stars? 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Read on, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And let's go to verse 20. Remember that, hallelujah, earlier on, in the earlier verses, before we come to verse 16, there were also the 7 candlesticks. And now in verse 16, he showed the 7 stars. Verse 20 is the interpretation. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And we understand that the seven churches referred to here is speaking of the seven church ages or the seven dispensations that the church of Jesus Christ will go through before the rapture. And each age had a messenger with message to the various churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. Seven churches and each angel had a message for that age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The children of God do not follow signs and wonders. It is carnal people. And that is the reason why the devil has hijacked that and is using signs and magic and is attracting crowd. Jesus was rebuking them because it's only carnal people that must see a sign before they believe. People have used the signs that follow the ministry of William Branham, and you can trust what the devil will do with that type of thing. And that is what has messed up the entire message till today. A sign does not point people to itself. A sign is pointing somewhere, isn't it? Signboard. When you are coming here, you saw a signboard. What was the signboard showing? Showing you direction to Brother Assembly Church. When you see the sign finish, you go the worship for signboard, Abby. You go stay for signboard, Abby. What is the evidence that you have seen the sign? You will follow the direction the sign is pointing you to. Jonas was sent to Nineveh. Amen. There was a sign. The sign was to the city of Nineveh. When he got there, did he enter there with the fish? Anytime you want to confirm that I am from God, then he will enter inside fish. He spoke something. A sign doesn't preach. The sign did not deliver the message. The people did not repent because of the sign. It is because of what Jonah said. There must be a voice that is following the sign. If there is no voice, that sign is not of God.